Guys, welcome back to the Galileo 3 podcast. I'm Roman, my co-host Sid, and we have some pretty interesting stuff coming up on this episode as we review Where No Man Has Gone Before. Actually, we have our first guest on this episode later. But now, Sid, what do you have as our weekly dessert on this episode?
Yes, weekly dessert. I have a delicious, one of my favorite little treats, in fact. Delicious little Clif Bar. It's chocolate macadamia nut.
That looks great.
It is so delicious. It's like a little energy bar, but heck, I just eat it for dessert. White chocolate is definitely one of my favorites. And then with
so good.
Mixed with macadamia nuts. Oh wow. It's just like so good.
Heavenly,
Yes.
I love white chocolate.
Definitely
as well,
one of my favorites. Yes. White chocolate. Oh wow. Delicious, 100%.
Yeah. So now here's my short summary of the episode Where No Man Has Gone Before. In this episode, the Enterprise is on the edge of the galaxy, encountering a strange energy barrier. Following this, helmsman Gary Mitchell and Dr. Elizabeth Diener, the ship's psychiatrist, gain godlike powers. And the crew of the Enterprise tries to maroon Gary on the remote planet of Delta Vega because his powers are getting too strong for them to handle. So, on this planet, Gary dies. After Dr. Dana weakens him, and Kirk causes a rock slide to bury him there forever. So let's talk a bit about the teaser of the episode. It starts with Captain Kirk's log, stardate 1312.4. And we see the Enterprise flying through a nebula, and we get to know that the Enterprise picks up the distress signal from a vessel that was long been missing for over two centuries. Yes. Then we
Isn't
see
that like a beautiful nebula, just like the purple and sparkling stars.
I think
stars.
We don't ever see that nebula again on the
That's
show.
That's unfortunate. I love that nebula. It was so pretty.
Then the camera zooms out and we see that was just a computer screen, and we see Spock and Kirk playing 3D chess again, just like in the last episode, Charlie Eggs.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused about that. So, was he listening to himself giving the captain's log, or was that just like
an overview? Yeah, overview of the current situation. Yeah,
I was a little confused about that.
Yeah, Kirk is probably not paying attention to the chess game because he's awaiting a call from the bridge. Yeah.
Poor Spock, he never gets to play gym whenever he's actually paying attention.
And Spock says that he has checkmated Kirk in the next move. So he's always calculating and stuff, yeah.
I know.
He's
like irritating.
Yeah. Then Kirk says, "Have I ever mentioned that you play a very irritating game of chess, Mr. Spock?" That's a great line.
Spock responds with, "Irritating. Yes.
One of your earth emotions. I love that. And he smiles again as he said that. Then the long-awaited call from the bridge comes. The officer says that they pick up the object, and it's not in tractor beam range. But it's too small.
It's too small to be a vessel. And too small to be an escape pod.
Yeah. 2 meters in diameter, I think they said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And Kirk, he's like, well, walk on to it. And they never get to finish their game.
They never did. But Spock probably did win this
game.
He
would have ended up winning.
So they bring it aboard, and we first see Mr. Scott.
Yes.
First appearance of Mr. Scott on screen. Yes. And we see this device they bring on board, and it's an old style ship recorder.
What is a ship recorder?
The old style ship recorder is something a computer maybe from the old ship. It is
Is it
from,
like
and Kirk says that it could be ejected when something's threatening the ship. So,
oh,
yeah.
okay. Huh. Interesting. So I guess it might be like a log buoy,
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
mentioned
Probably.
later. Huh, okay. Interesting.
And oh, I have a question. Do you know what Scotty's first on-screen line is?
So it was he's like, "Oh, engineering division ready as always, sir." Was
That
that
was
it?
later. It was
Oh.
first in the transporter room. He says very simple line, two words, yes,
Oh.
sir. That's all.
Dang it, true. I forgot
Yeah.
about that part.
Yeah.
Well,
So
that was cool.
then the ship recorder activates and begins transmitting, and yeah, they go to red
What
alert,
alert.
and we see the crew running through the hallway of the ship, and that's where the intro comes in and starts.
Okay, so after the intro, Kirk and Spock enter the turbo lift, and right
Yes.
before the doors close,
Gary Mitchell
Lieutenant Commander Gary Mitchell
rushes in.
enters.
Yeah, right.
So Kirk and Mitchell, they just joke around. They talk
Yeah.
about Spock's chess skills.
Yeah,
Just
they do.
they just set the foundation for that they've known each other for a while.
Yeah. They're probably good friends.
Probably went to the academy together or something. I don't know. So the three, after they just joke around in the transport, no, not transport,
The turbo lift.
not transporter,
In the
turbo
turbo
lift.
lift, yeah.
Yes,
They
the
enter,
three,
yeah,
yes, they enter the bridge.
enter the bridge, and apparently they are approaching the edge of the galaxy, which is quite weird, but because we never the rest
Right?
of the series takes place in the Milky Way galaxy, yeah.
Yeah, and we learned that Mitchell is the navigator.
Yeah, he is.
Is that his official title?
I think it is, yeah.
Wait, what
Yes.
is his official title?
That's a good question.
Oh, he was a helmsman.
Helmsman,
Well, I
yeah.
mean,
Helmsman,
they called it
navigator.
navigator.
In
They
the,
called his.
during the original series,
Yes.
during the run, Chekhov was
Oh.
navigator and Sulu was helmsman.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's
No. Yeah, see, it's reverse.
Yeah.
Because the. Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, Yuri was the helmsman. And who's the guy beside him? I don't know, was the navigator ever mentioned? His name ever mentioned?
Good question. I don't know that.
Oh well. So all we know is Gary was the helmsman.
Yeah, Gary was the helmsman.
So yes.
And then Kirk opens the ship wide channel and he announces that they picked up that what they picked up was a disaster recorder from the SS Valiant.
Didn't his
With
voice sound pretty funny?
yeah,
It
with
was
this
like
echo, yeah.
echoey and like, I don't know. It's like it was harder to hear than if he just regularly talked.
And I think later in the series, when they when Kirk does a ship-wide channel, they never had that effect again. So
they
that's the
didn't.
only time, yeah.
So they probably
I don't
agree
know
with us that it
why they
sounded
did that.
weird.
Yeah. Then we see Dr. Dana, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Mark Piper, Scotty, and Sulu entering the bridge, and it's pretty funny. In this episode, basically everyone has the wrong uniform color.
Right?
Sulu wears
Yeah.
blue sciences. Yeah, Dr. Dana, who's actually a psychiatrist, wears gold, command gold.
Yeah,
That's pretty
what?
weird. Yeah.
No. And it's interesting. Do we ever hear of the USS Enterprise's psychiatrist again? I mean,
No, I think we don't.
Pretty odd.
Later, Dr. Piper is replaced as chief surgeon by Dr. McCoy, obviously.
Isn't that odd? Yeah. Like, we've already had Bones as the chief CMO.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it's Mark.
Yeah.
Where'd you come from, Mark?
Dr. Mark Piper, he does not play a big part in this episode, actually.
He doesn't.
But he introduces Dr. Dana, who apparently joined the crew at the Aldebaran colony. So
I feel like we hear about the Aldebaran colony.
We do, yes. I feel like we do.
Quite a few times, actually, I think.
Yeah. It's mentioned quite frequently, I think, yeah.
So Spock announces that he's been able to get a signal from the recorder.
Yeah.
So he's trying to interpret that while the first scene between Dr. Dana and Mitchell.
Right, and Mitchell tries to flirt with Dr. Dana.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she coldly turns him down.
Yeah.
And so he calls her a walking freezer unit.
Yes. That's so cool. Yeah.
That's so funny. Like, a freezer unit? Like, in the first place, what is that?
A walking freezer unit, yeah. So
apparently, finally, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. The Spock listens through the tapes of the disaster recorder, and he says that they're badly burned, but he can hear that the Valiant encountered a magnetic space storm, and yeah. The ship had encountered some unknown force, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly before the ship was destroyed, the crew has accessed the computer records on ESP, which means extrasensory perception. Yes. And then Dina explains that this is the ability only a few people have, and it's the ability to like see future events and see the bag of cards, see through walls. Manipulate objects.
I like that one.
Yeah.
You're playing a card game and they're like,
and later we find out that that Dana and Gary Mitchell have the highest ESP values on the ship, with Gary Mitchell having the highest. Yeah.
Yes. Gary Mitchell having the highest on the whole ship.
Yeah.
So that's got to do with something. Get like sort of suspicious.
Yeah, it is.
Of him having that ability. So the Valiant crew apparently continued researching the ESP until the captain ordered a self-destruct.
Yes, he did.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's pretty desperate.
Yeah. Man. Wouldn't that be awful? I mean, having to make that decision as a captain. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
To order that. That's, probably dangerous.
That's not only your ship, but it's all the lives on it, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to do it because millions of, otherwise might be affected by what we later learn will happen to the ESP. How it affects people.
And then Kirk orders Gary Mitchell to leave the galaxy with warp factor 1. They break the galaxy barrier and run into this magnetic storm.
I thought it was quite funny.
Just a storm. We don't know if it's a magnetic storm or iron storm or something like that.
Or just colorful storm.
Yeah, it's pretty, but it's also pretty dangerous. So everything on the bridge explodes. We see flashing lights. There's a fire. And Dr. Dana and Gary Mitchell collapse. They're struck by this force of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And they collapse immediately.
Yeah, but before that, Kirk ordered to reverse course.
Yes.
But Mitchell, he gets struck by this I don't know, discharge of some sort.
It could be,
and
yeah.
he falls to the ground. And was it? It was Spock who dashes over to the helm.
Yeah.
To try to reverse course and get clear of the energy field.
Tries, yeah. Then Kirk goes up to Gary as he lays on the ground, and we first see, as he opens his eyes, we see this sparkling eyes.
Yes,
yeah.
Silver, like, it looks like aluminum
yeah.
in his eyes, which is pretty creepy.
it
but
is.
And I like how the it just fades out
mm-hmm.
with his, like, you can barely see his eyes left.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the next act, act two.
Yeah.
If you want to be specific.
Right.
And it's then we, Kirk.
Act two starts again with Kirk's log, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We learn that in this voiceover that the engines burned out. They're mm-hmm. back to engine impulse power. The warp drive is broken.
And, yeah, so the Earth bases, which were before only days away, are now years
in distance. Yeah.
That would be pretty scary.
It is, yeah. The repairs are probably taking a while to.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Kirk wonders. He's like, what destroyed the Valiant?
Mm.
He's like, if they lived through the barrier just as they have, then what happened to them after that?
Yeah.
Like, did they... What?
Yeah. And we see the bridge crew repairing the consoles on the bridge
mm-hmm.
and during this voiceover. And... yeah, then we get a look at Dr. Dana's personal file with a few facts about her. Yeah, we learned that her her birthday started 1089.5.
1089.5?
Yeah.
Do we know what day that would be? What month?
I run that through an online star rate converter, but it's probably not legit. I don't know. Her age is given in this personal file by 21, but I think it was just her age as the metal record was done. So her birthplace is Delmon, which is a fictional city on another planet, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. So not born on Earth.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a connection between that because that and the ESP. Because I wonder
could
if
be, yeah.
Gary was born on Earth either. So
maybe we don't know.
Came up with a new theory.
Yeah.
Then
Dr. Dana comes in with the autopsy report of the
nine dead.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But she mentions that in all cases, there was damage to a specific region of the brain.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. I wonder wonder how that connects to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then actually Kirk tells Dr. Dana that Gary Mitchell has the highest ESP rating of all the ship's crew.
And he also says that all of them that died had high ESP ratings.
Yeah.
So you got to wonder, like, how did Gary and Dana, like, how did they survive?
Yeah. Maybe their ESP rating was so high that they...
Higher?
Higher, probably. A lot higher,
maybe.
I think.
Yeah.
Then we see Gary laying in sick bay. And Gary didn't even look and knows that Kirk comes in.
Right, he just greeted him.
He recognizes without him without looking him, yeah, at him.
So at that point, you're like, wait, what? How do you know that?
They have a quick chat, and as Kirk leaves again, Gary warns him and says to better be good with him.
Yeah, and like a echoey sort
of
creepy voice, and Kirk's
like,
"Yeah,
that's Foreshadowing of his powers he gains.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Then on the bridge, Spock is monitoring Gary and sees that he's beginning to read faster and faster with every second that passes. Yeah.
Right? It was like changing it after changing after changing. It's like, dang, how fast can you
He's reading
read?
through the whole, yeah, library of
And
the
then at the
Enterprise, yeah.
end, he looks over to the security camera, doesn't
He does,
he?
yeah.
He's like,
I
looks over
know
and
you're watching me,
yeah.
Spock.
Yikes,
Yeah.
creepy. So Dr. Daner enters sick bay after a little while, and she realizes that Michael doesn't very like her very much,
Yeah.
but he apologizes to her after a while, and she asks him how he feels, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, everybody's expecting me to have a fever, but no, I'm fine. Come on, guys.
And then he changes the dials of the sick bay monitor.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, how did I do
First they
that?
go
And so
up.
he tries,
Yeah.
to perfect health. And then he's like, wonder if I can die. And so he just kills himself,
Yeah, for 22
brings
seconds,
him.
yeah. He was dead for almost
Yep.
22 seconds, yeah.
And she's like, Carrie, hold up. Wake up. No.
Yeah.
But he just wakes right back up. Brings his indicators all the way back up.
Yeah.
And
And Gary Mitchell quotes from the fictional poem Nightingale Woman. Yeah, he says,
yeah, I remember.
Dana asks him if he can remember everything that he read. And they have like a quiz. So Gary quotes from this poem: "My love has wings, slender feathered things. They with grace and an upswept curve and tapered tip." Yeah, that poem was actually written by Gene Roddenberry. Because
Really?
he always had a love for writing poems, and so he did that.
Man, Gene Roddenberry's
He
the
is amazing, yeah. He
man.
was, he is still amazing, yeah.
Oh, definitely had a talent for sure.
Yeah. So then this engineer comes in, and Gary asks him how the repairs are going.
And he reports that the main engines are in very bad shape.
Yeah.
And
But,
he warns him to
yeah.
check the starboard impulse engine packs.
Right. These points are about to decay to lead.
He's just like,
Yeah.
whatever. They're
If they
like,
activate,
eh.
if they would activate these packs, they would blow the whole impulse deck. Yeah. That would be pretty bad. So. At first, the
Incredibly,
engineer didn't believe him, but
just
then,
dismissed it.
yeah, Gary Mitchell becomes really angry at and is
He uses his
really,
booming voice again.
yeah. Okay, now we're halfway through the episode. That means it's time for Sydney's Quiz Corner. Yeah.
Yes, quiz number one. Let's jump right in.
Yeah.
All right, Roman. How many more times is the phaser rifle seen in the original series?
Oh, okay.
How many more times is the phaser rifle seen in the original series?
It's the only time it's seen in the original series. It's the only
Yes.
episode in which it appears, yeah.
Yes, first and only time. However, it was used in many preseason promotional pictures.
Yeah, right.
Preseason one promotional pictures.
Yeah.
Yes, so. High five. All right, quiz number two.
Yeah.
How many years did Jim Kirk know Gary Mitchell?
Oh, I think he said that at some point in the episode. I think
He
it
did.
was maybe 5 or 6 years. I don't remember that
No, actually,
well.
much more.
Much more.
One more chance.
Okay.
Actually, you get three since it's the Galileo three.
Yeah, of course.
So three chances.
Even the theme with the three, yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Of course. So I think 11 years.
11 years? That's close.
Yeah.
But one more chance.
Okay, 13.
No.
Okay.
Three strikes, you're out. All right. 15 years.
15 years, okay.
Yes, 15 years. Jim Kirk knew Gary Mitchell for 15 years.
That's a long time, that's, yeah.
Heck yeah, that's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
I would,
so.
Yeah, so, okay. Quiz number three.
Yes.
How many captain's logs did Kirk narrate in this episode?
Oh, that's a good one. I think I know that. Let me...
How many captain's logs did Kirk narrate in this episode?
He did one in the beginning. He did
one in the beginning.
I'm between three or four. It could be three or four.
What should you go with? I mean, this is the Galileo three.
Yeah, so I should probably let me say four.
Four?
Yeah.
Well, both of them were wrong. Okay. But four was the closer one. It was five. Captain Kirk narrated five captain's logs in this episode.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Let us know how many quizzes you got right.
Of course, like
let
always.
Us know how many got wrong. And tell me if these were better than the past episodes. Are they easier, harder, medium, perfect? Let us know, definitely.
Definitely let us know, yeah.
Yes.
We're jumping back into the second part of the episode. We left off where Kirk and the crew meets in the briefing room. And this engineer shows them these burned out circuits that these packs that Gary Mitchell said burned out. And they, in fact, burn out the way Gary Mitchell described. So, yeah.
Right. So then we see them in the briefing room, right?
Yeah, we do.
After all of that.
Yeah.
And we see Sulu in a blue uniform.
Yes.
Scotty in a yellow uniform.
Like I said, everyone.
Spock. Yeah, Spock's in a yellow uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, so everyone says that they what they observed about Gary Mitchell, that he's getting stronger, and yeah.
Right, and Scotty and Spock, they report that the ship just seems like a toy for him, for Gary's amusement.
Right.
Since it seemed as he was the one screwing with the buttons and
right, yeah.
The monitors on the bridge and stuff.
Scotty says that the bridge controls kept changing on their own, and yeah. So
right.
Spock actually suggests to maroon Gary on the planet Delta Vega, which is kind of an abandoned planet, no inhabitants there, and yeah, they could destroy the facility and kill Gary Mitchell on that in that way, yeah.
Yeah, and Spock, I mean, Kirk, he's like mad. He's like, he tells Spock to like get out, but Spock won't let up. He claims it's the only choices that he has, and Kirk says, would you try for a moment to feel, at least act like you've got a heart?
Yeah.
But as he's saying that, he realizes that really is his only two options.
Yeah.
And
it is, and
it's a very depressing realization, but
it is,
face the facts.
After that, Kirk decides to set course for Delta Vega.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the next scene, we see Kirk entering sick bay, and he actually sees this cup of water flying through the air into Gary Mitchell's hands. Yeah.
Yes. So,
he's Gary thirsty
takes,
and, yeah.
Yeah. Gary takes a sip, and Kirk asks if Gary can read their thoughts, and apparently he can. Because he shocks Jim and Spock with a weird, like, magnetic force thing.
Right. Yeah, right.
And because he knows that Kirk plans to leave him on Delta Vega.
And he knows that that Spock wants to kill him, yeah.
Right. So it's very interesting how he can read thoughts.
Yeah.
I never The first time I watched it, I don't think I realized that part. Like, it just, like,
Yeah.
went over me. So I was like, oh, that's right. You can read thoughts. That's interesting.
It's not that clear what you can do with these powers, I think.
Right, exactly. So I feel like he might just be sort of like Deanna in the next generation, like
Yeah,
not really knowing exactly their intention, like, well, like exact intentions, but like kind of feeling what they know. So in a way, sort of like Deanna.
Eventually Kirk and Spock manage to overwhelm Gary Mitchell and pin him down, and Dr. Dana gives him a shot to make him unconscious. So,
Yeah, but he awakes again in the transporter
yeah,
room and
right.
he starts yelling that he'll squash everyone like insects and stuff who are getting
Yeah.
injected again by Dr. Piper, right? Is
Yeah,
that
Dr.
Dr.
Mark
Piper?
Piper, yeah.
Yeah. So he soon regains consciousness in a brig down on the planet, right? I thought
Right.
that was pretty interesting that that Delta Vega planet, which supposedly no one's there, had like a brig sort
Yeah.
of thing down there. It's like,
It's
huh,
like abandoned
why did they do
colony, yeah.
that? Yeah. Oh, true. Okay. Yeah. Huh.
So, yeah. They put him on a cell on this planet, and yeah, then Kirk and
Yes.
Gary talk through this force
He
field.
starts, yeah, Gary
Yeah.
starts trying to guilt trip him.
Yeah.
He's like, I've known you forever. And
So they've been friends, and yeah, they then Gary presses himself against this force field of the cell, and this drains his powers a bit, so his eyes go back to normal for
Right?
a
As
few
he
seconds,
slides
yeah.
down, yeah, the back of the wall, like the eyes return to normal, and Spock's like, we can do it now. We have
Yeah.
to kill him now while his powers are gone. But
Yeah.
before like 3 seconds pass, they already switch back to their silver state.
So,
He
and
informs, oh, sorry, go ahead.
yeah. Actually, this one actor in the background you can see is Eddie Paskey, who's later to become Lieutenant Leslie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty cool. I don't think I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I remember that random guy and seeing him in the background.
Yeah. He stands there with Dana, Kirk, Spock. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So in the next scene, Scotty calls Kirk over the
Yes.
intercom. So I'm a communicator. And
Right.
he tells him that Spock got the phaser rifle they sent down.
Yeah, Kirk was
Then
like,
Kirk is like,
wait, what?
I didn't own any. And
Yeah.
then he sees Spock coming in with this huge phaser
He's like,
rifle.
He's like,
I love this
ready.
moment, yeah. And this
And
phaser
Kirk's like,
rifle,
Kirk out.
the original prop for the phaser rifle was actually auctioned in 2013 for $231,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I
I
wonder
would
who
love,
owns that. That's so
yeah.
cool. Wow.
So,
That would be
and actually this.
amazing.
Yeah, and the gun only appears in the second pilot episode and a few
Yes.
promotional photos, but
Yes, that's true.
it's never used again in the original
Right,
series.
yeah.
Yeah. And Captain Kirk does this log in which he says that the engines are fully regenerated and that Mitchell is growing stronger and stronger by any minute. So, yeah. And actually, here you
Right.
can see that Gary Mitchell's hair is growing grayer and grayer.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that should show that these powers he has drained
Right. Are,
his
yeah.
energy, yeah, some sort.
Right, yeah. I thought it was interesting earlier whenever Kirk talked to Spock about the phaser rifle and Dr. Daner. Kirk, he wanted to believe that Dr. Daner, after she claimed that Gary isn't dangerous, he wanted to believe her, but Spock points out that her statement might be emotion-led. But I thought what was interesting is Spock used the word lucky, a human
Yeah.
statement, right?
A human emotion, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. I was like, huh, one thing that they didn't think
That's
about.
his human half speaking out of Spock, yeah.
You're right. Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah, then
So,
we see this cool scene where Gary Mitchell remote strangles Lieutenant Kelso
yes.
with this cable. Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Danner and Kirk are arguing back and forth. He's just going and killing somebody. It's like, oh no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So yeah, through like a couple of walls, like just
Yeah.
the camera zooms in on his face and he's just like he's got his head up like
Yeah.
and that like proud stance.
You see that later, why he does that all the
Yes,
time. Yeah.
we will. Yes,
In
in
a
our
little
exciting
interview, yeah.
guest segment.
Yeah. So, yeah, then he shocks Kirk and Spock again. Spock's aiming with his gun at Gary Mitchell. Yeah. But he
Right.
knocks them
But
out
he,
and yeah. Then he
yeah,
turns off
he
this force
managed.
field with a wave
Yeah.
of a hand, yeah.
Yeah, that's. Oh, wait, oh, shoot, no.
Yeah.
But then Dr. Danner just stands there, and as we see, he invites her into the brig, and she as she looks in the mirror, you see her eyes just whoosh, change,
And we know
and you're
that.
like, no,
Yeah. She has these
not
powers
her
now
too.
too, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Piper finds Spock and Kirk passed out in the hall, yet alive. But Kirk tells Dr. Piper not to revive Spock until Kirk leaves because he feels it as though it's his fault that Gary has gotten as far as he has, and he orders immediate transportation to the Enterprise after Spock awakens, and then he leaves with his phaser rifle,
Ah, right,
and
yes.
yeah, and he
On a
orders
hunt
him that
for Gary Mitchell, yeah.
yeah. And he's like, if y'all don't receive a signal from me within the next 12 hours, immediately just leave
Blow
orbit.
this
And
thing up, yeah.
yeah, wow,
So,
that would be
yeah.
that'd be hard to do if
So,
you were Dr. Piper.
of course, yeah. So, Dana and Mitchell actually take a walk outside. And then Gary turns this bleak landscape they're going through into this really beautiful one with flowers and
Yeah,
palm
little
trees and
waterfall or
waterfall fountain, yeah.
pink and yellow flowers.
So then Kirk.
And then next we see Kirk.
Yeah, right.
He's peeking between two boulders. He's like phaser and rifle in hand, like
Yeah.
peeking.
So, yeah.
Just looks super funny.
And then Gary Mitchell
So,
wants to have some food, and then he lets this tree of Kefarian apples appear.
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We never hear of them again, but they look
We
kind of cool.
don't.
Yeah.
They do. They look like, oh, what is that one fruit? Is it a guava? I'm not quite
I
sure.
don't know, like a bit of mango, I think.
Yeah, but it had a lot of like little black seeds in it,
Yeah,
didn't
right.
it? I don't
It's not a
know. I wonder
grapefruit.
what.
It's
No.
I don't know. Let us know if you know what this fruit
Yeah.
resembles, yeah.
Definitely don't remember that
And
one.
he says that these Kefarian apples actually are his favorite fruit whenever he comes to this planet, yeah.
Right, yeah. So after they both see Kirk and their minds, Gary tells Dana to go to Kirk and she finds him.
Yeah, she does. She
Right,
does
pretty
appear
soon.
in front of
Yeah.
Kirk. Yeah.
And so that shows how quickly her powers are escalating.
Yeah.
And then whenever they meet, Kirk tries to convince her that she needs to help him. And after his long lecture and debate, Danner tells Kirk that Gary's coming.
Right, yeah. And he does appear on this rock and
That was so
Kirk
funny,
immediately
wasn't
rolls over and shoots at
it?
him with his phaser rifle, yeah. But
Unaffected, Gary just like smirks down at the phaser
yeah.
beam. He
And
throws the rifle out of
flings the
Kirk's arms,
rifle out of
right?
Kurt's hand, yeah.
Yeah, just like a little flick and it's gone.
Then he says he's been contemplating about the death of an old friend. Yeah. And we see who that is in the next scene where this tombstone with the grave appears, and actually on it, James R. Kirk.
R.
R. Kirk, not R. T. Kirk.
Not yeah, T, they, not Tiberius.
Yeah. It's actually, I speculate about what this R stands for. It could be not to Roddenberry or Rice. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
just be a joke of the producers to make it Roddenberry. Right.
Yeah.
But we, but Kirk's middle name, Tiberius, is first mentioned in Tiberius. Star Trek TAS, the animated series, in the episode BEM.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember that episode, but I didn't know it was that late until we learned his middle name. Wow. Huh. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, Gary attempts to pull the boulder down to drop it for Kirk's grave.
Yeah.
But Daner, she finally comes to her realization that this is wrong and asks him to stop.
Yeah.
And Gary tells Kirk to pray to him and tries to convince
him down to his knees and his pray knees him and as he's a god. Yeah. This was pretty cool scene for William Shatner to act. I think he did a good job. Yeah.
I feel like his dramatization really helped him in this.
It did,
in this part, because I feel like that was very good acting by him.
Yeah. Like, of course.
Just like how he like restrained and then he did like that. Yeah, it was, I feel like he did really good. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, that was a very good scene of his. And as Kirk is being forced to do this, he's trying to convince Dr. Dana that there will only be one of them left in the end, Gary or her. Like, there's no way that there, like, there'll be two of them.
Then they have this fight with the lightning bolts.
Yes, they like stun each other. Dana and Gary.
Fires at Gary, and Gary fires back, and they both get weaker as they progress. And then
Kirk drop to the ground.
Yeah, right. Dana says to Kirk that it's now his chance to defeat Gary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get into this classic Kirk fight scene. Yeah.
Yes.
And
And right as he picks up a rock to do his final blow, he's like, he says, like, forgive me, right?
Mm-hmm. Then he regains his powers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And Gary just flicks him off and they start fighting again. And of course, Kirk got to rip his shirt. I mean,
yeah, of course. He's Kirk. It's not a real fight scene.
Without
Kirk's shirt is ripped. Yeah. Then they both fall in this grave, this tomb Gary digged for Kirk, actually. But Kirk gets out first and grabs his gun and fires
and
at
he
the
shoots
boulder.
The boulder.
Right, in front of above the grave, Then this giant rock falls down and buries Gary underneath.
Forever, yes.
Yeah.
It's a hard scene for Kirk, and so he drags his feet over to Dr. Daner and before she dies, and he just sits back and he's like just taking it all in. He's like, wow, what just happened? Like, wow. he's just in a state of disbelief and communicates with the Enterprise, and then back on board we see his arm in a wrap,
bandaged, he says in his log that Dana and Gary gave his life in performance of their duty.
So
then Spock says he felt for Gary too. That was
and awesome. Kirk's like, Spock,
I believe there's some hope for you after all, Mr. Spock. That's cool.
Spock's just like, whatever.
Yes, that's actually the end of the episode. Then they leave the planet.
And their little dramatic little song. I love that song, by the way.
It is, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So We're having our first guest on this podcast right now, Samantha Lockwood, daughter of Gary Lockwood, Lieutenant Commander Gary Mitchell, on this episode Where No Man Has Gone Before, and obviously Frank Poole in A Space Odyssey. She's an actress and became the youngest certified Bikram yoga teacher at age 17 and runs a Bikram yoga studio in Hawaii.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not right now. Yeah, we will eventually possibly have another studio out there, but okay. I own a studio now because my mother was an actress, and my mother and I were kind of sort of, I support, you know, kind of supporting each other with that. And so she passed away, and I moved back to Los Angeles to be closer to my dad.
Okay, yeah, I can understand. Yeah. So, but anyways, we're really looking forward to hear a few stories you have to tell about your father's work on this episode.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I was not born when he did the episode, though. But I have heard a lot of stories about the things that, actually, the photo that you have behind you shows him with those lenses on.
Contact lens, yeah.
Yeah. And so what's interesting is that he said that was the first of that time period to create that kind of special effects. Mm-hmm. I think the only other time they'd use those lenses was in Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Oh, okay.
So, I met the guy years later. I met the guy who was the head of that art department.
Really? Okay.
Special effects. And he was saying that, he was telling me that story. And my dad always said that it was really painful to wear those contact lenses, you know, it wasn't comfortable because they hadn't come out with this like new technology that we have now to make thin contact lenses. Yeah. So it was like a very painful experience to wear those. Yeah.
I read that it was kind of aluminum or tin foil or what they had back there.
I'm not sure what they were made out of, but
I read that they had little holes in it. It was really hard to see through. So Gary had to lift his head up and look through these holes. So
yeah, probably that's why you see him doing this.
Yeah.
Photos.
But yeah, it really adds to this godly appearance you had on the show.
It does, yeah. I think it changed everything. Mm-hmm. So the other interesting thing about that is that Roddenberry wrote this role for him because they'd worked together before. Roddenberry produced a show called
The Lieutenant,
Yeah, and The Lieutenant was, I mean, that was like my dad's big starring role when he was in his, you know, early 20s. That was the first series that he'd starred in. And I guess Roddenberry said, "We all know you think you're God, so we wrote you this role where you literally become God."
That's cool. Yes. I think he was offered to play the role of Captain Kirk.
Is true. Yeah, yeah. He was offered that role, but because he'd shot 2001, he felt like at that time the way that they shot 2001 was so forward and so much more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything from really presenting these actors in space as astronauts that were behaving in, you know, in a space station, rather than making it like, oh, kind of like a science fiction kind of, I don't want to use the word cheesy, but the special effects, I mean, we can all kind of agree that the early Star Trek special effects are a bit cheesy.
They are a bit,
Shaking the camera and stuff like that to make it look like it's moving. So I think he felt like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do this. But I'm sure at the time he had no idea how big Star Trek would have become, because obviously now
I think no one had the idea.
Nobody knew. Nobody knew. I think maybe just like your podcast, one day you'll be like the biggest podcaster
nobody
and
knows, yeah.
the whole world that, you know, nobody knew, but here you are, you're starting at home on your laptop. Yeah. And you just, it's kind of like that. Some projects, I think actors get a sense of like, oh yeah, this is going to do really well. This is going to be a really interesting project to be a part of. But nobody really knows, you know, you don't really know where things are going to go. I'm sure he didn't even realize the magnitude of 2001.
Yeah.
He said he knew at the time that they were doing something really special that hadn't really been done before, and that he knew that he had two of the greatest minds, one science and one director, who ultimately put Stanley Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke together. You know, you're going to create some sort of masterpiece, something amazing and very forward thinking. So he knew when he was getting involved in that he was going to become part of something great. But to this day, nobody knew that even 2001 would be revered around the world as one of the best, if not like the best
science fiction movie. Yeah.
Best science fiction
movie. It is
one
of the best.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's very cocky to say anything's the best at anything, but in the eyes of a lot of people, it's still something that is studied in film school. It's something that you see. I mean, I just last year went to an exhibit at the Museum of Moving Images in New York City, which is an exhibit just for 2001. And I myself wanted to do a whole documentary based on that, because I think the history of 2001, the people who it's influenced today, it's just amazing. There's so many very well-known, you know, cinematographers, filmmakers, directors, actors who have been affected by that work. And likewise, I'm sure with Star Trek, I'm sure Star Trek has affected the lives of so many people too.
It did. Yeah, of course it did. Many people talked to James Doohan or DeForest Kelly to say them that they became doctors or engineers because of them, and so changed the life of many people.
It's funny because I think sometimes people in the film industry don't get a whole lot of credit for, you know, what is it?
Yeah.
Rocket science to be an actor, or do you want to be an actor because you just want to be famous, or just because you need attention? And you hear this kind of stuff all the time. But I think that without the arts and without people who are interested in bringing to life these creative things, you don't inspire people to try a myriad of different careers and to inspire people to think a new way and to try something. And I know even with the lieutenant, my dad said there were so many men in the military who still to this day, they write to him and say, I never considered a career in the military, but the way I saw you present that character, I thought, oh, I can go out there. I can be this like real person. I can see myself doing that. I can see myself with a life in the military. And a lot of people have been inspired by my father over the years for that work as well, for the lieutenant. Yeah.
Movie and shows really do wonders sometimes when it comes to inspiring people. And
I mean, maybe if it wasn't for your love of Star Trek, you wouldn't even be doing a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would definitely not.
Who knows how many people out there watching this who their lives have been affected because they were watching Star Trek.
Yeah.
Maybe it affected their life choices or the way they've lived, or you never know. I mean, I know that there were some people out there so devout to Star Trek that it's like all they do, they learn the language. It's like their whole life is affected by this work. And sometimes in a good way, sometimes not in a good way, but you know, when it's in a good way, it's great.
Right, it is, yes. At this point, my co-host wants to say hi. She can't be here right now, sadly, but yeah, she.
Oh. Hi, co-host.
She's called Sydney.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said, okay, Sydney, hello.
Yeah, I think that's it. And yeah, so glad to have you on our show, and It was great talking to you.
Well, thanks for reaching out, and I'm glad that I helped shed some light or share some of my little stories from this.
So thankful, yeah.
Yeah, and thank you so much.
All the best to you and your dad, yeah. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Cheers.
Cheers. Now let's talk a bit about our favorite quotes from this episode. We have a few interesting ones, so stick around.
Yes. Roman, you want to go first?
Yeah. Actually, my favorite quote has to be this one from Spock to Kirk as they discuss what they should do with Gary. Spock says, "You've heard the mathematics of it. In a month, he'll have as much in common with us as he as we have with a ship full of white mice." Yeah, that's that's a cool one. Yeah,
I remember that one. Yeah, So, white mice. That was a very interesting. I don't know, correlation or
So, what's your favorite quote from this episode?
So I've got two. Let's start with this one.
Okay.
My favorite quote is, "Command and compassion is a fool's mixture," which Mitchell said to Kirk. And I thought that was pretty interesting because I feel like command without compassion, I don't feel like that's a fool's mixture. I feel like that's a commander.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can't just like drive someone all the time, like work them like a mule or something. Like,
right, yeah.
You've got to realize that we're all human. And we all have the same rights, so you got to be compassionate of what the other person can do.
That's a deep quote right there.
In any, in any workplace, in any setting, really. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Let's hear another one of yours, Roman.
Right, yes. I've got another one from Gary Mitchell, quite deep as well, to Kirk, Spock, and Dana. I think it was said in the sick bay. He says, "It's like a man who's been blind all of his life suddenly being given sight."
I like that one. Yeah, I remember that one.
That's a great quote. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So my next one, it is actually the first time this order has been given.
Oh, okay.
From Kirk to Spock.
That's cool.
It's actually simply one word. Energize.
Energize. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's cool. Yeah.
Yes. Energize.
Energize.
Yes. That is definitely one of my favorites. Yes. Yes. A side favorite one of my quotes is actually from Samantha Lockwood, which she said earlier. I really appreciated it. It's very cocky to say that something is the best.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. Like nothing really is the best because everything
nothing really is. Yeah,
it came from another thing, you know. So I thought that was very interesting whenever she said that, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what's your third one, Robin?
My third one is actually a line by Scotty, as he calls Kirk via the communicator. And sorry for my terrible Scotty impression, but he says,
"We gotta hear it. We gotta hear it.
It fits like a glove, Captain."
Yes. So good. So good.
Aye. Yeah. So yes, that was our favorite quotes from this episode. Yes. Yeah.
Let us know y'all's favorite quote if y'all had a different one.
Do that.
On Instagram and Twitter, let us know.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap this episode up. We're at the end of the episode, and Sid, what do you think of this episode? Do you like it?
Be honest, the first time I ever watched this, I was definitely not bored, because I don't think Star Trek has ever bored me, but it was like, okay, that's an
underwhelming
interesting one.
Yeah.
It was very deep. But the second time and the more times I've watched this, I've really started to appreciate the different levels of this story about like the struggles of like what's morally right
right
and what sometimes you have to do
Mom plays a big role in this episode, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I think this one I'm going to go ahead and give a 7.
Yeah, that's almost exactly what I have written down for this episode.
oh, yeah?
It's like 6.57.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, huh. Okay, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's right.
Very interesting into everything that they go into in this episode.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So
next week.
What's next our week, next week's actually. Episode? Next week, I'm already looking forward to next week because we're reviewing then the Naked Time.
Definitely one of my favorites. Definitely one of course, there. Of
course, mine too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys,
so a quick thank you
for listening.
And yeah, make a quick sure. thank you to Samantha Lockwood, right?
Right.
Who we
yeah.
interviewed earlier.
We
Huge thank you
show.
To her.
Of
yeah.
course, yeah. It was a pleasure to interview her.
Definitely.
And, yeah.
and unfortunately, as we know, I couldn't be there, but just a huge thank you to her for taking time out of her day and just being here for a couple questions. So
yeah, right.
thank you to her and
it was
thank
fun to
you
interview
guys
her
for
and...
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
And make sure to check out our Instagram and Twitter. We're still the Galileo 3. There, right?
Yes.
For important news and updates, yeah.
Definitely.
And we
yeah,
see
so.
You next time.
Yes. See you next week.